Dear beloved of God, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. We finally made it to the end of John's Gospel. This is the final scene. The disciples have already seen the risen Jesus more than once. Jesus has appeared to Mary in the garden. He has walked through locked doors. He has breathed the Holy Spirit on the disciples. Thomas has touched Jesus' wounds. And still the way forward for these disciples isn't clear. So they do what humans do when the road ahead disappears. They return to what their hands already know. Peter said, "I'm going fishing." And the other said, "Sounds good, we'll go with you." I don't think this is an act of failure or despair. It's something more human than that. The boat is solid, the nets familiar. And after everything that they have experienced, the arrest, the cross, the resurrection, all of the appearances, maybe there is something grounding for these men when they encounter the smell of the salt water at night. They go back to what they know, what they're good at, and they catch nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stands on the beach. They didn't know it was him. He calls out to them. He tells them to cast the net on the other side of the boat. Oh, we forgot to do that. Suddenly, this net is so full that they can't haul it in. The beloved disciple says to the others, "It's the Lord." Peter decides to put his clothes back on so he can jump into the water. The others drag the net to shore, and when they get there, Jesus has built a fire. There's fish on the fire. He has some bread. He says, "Come, sit down, have breakfast." No one asks who he is. The gospel writer John says they knew it was the Lord, and yet none of them dared to ask. Was the moment too full, too holy to interrupt with a question? We don't know. We just know they sit down around the fire and eat. It's worth noting that the breakfast is prepared on a charcoal fire. It's a specific word. The word for charcoal fire only appears in John's Gospel twice. Here, on the beach, and one time earlier, in the courtyard of the high priest's house, on the night that Jesus was arrested. Peter was warming himself by a charcoal fire. When some of the high priest's servants asked Peter three times if he was one of Jesus' disciples, three times Peter said, "No." That charcoal fire was the site of a death. Not Peter's death, or even Jesus's yet, but it's the site of the death of the relationship between Peter and Jesus. Before Jesus ever goes to the cross, Peter had already declared that they were over. He didn't know this man. He wanted nothing to do with him. Three times beside a charcoal fire, Peter killed what existed between him and Jesus. And now Jesus has brought him right back to a fire. Jesus doesn't avoid this thing. He doesn't replace it with something cleaner, something new. He just builds another one. Same smell, same heat, same flickering light, and there he makes breakfast. At a grave, kind of. The very place that Peter declared their friendship dead. And this is kind of how Jesus works. This is resurrection logic. The wounds are still on Jesus' body. The charcoal fire is standing right there on the beach. Jesus doesn't erase the past. He walks into it and makes something new. Here, this old fire and all of its ghosts become a new fire. And one of the things that I love about this or find really helpful is that Peter doesn't get it while it's happening. He's just there by the fire answering Jesus' questions, kind of getting hurt by Jesus' questions. The full meaning of what Jesus is doing assembles itself later. That's how grace works sometimes. We don't always recognize it when we're in it. I've had that experience. A few years ago, I was sitting with a dear friend and colleague in his hospital room. He was dying. I'd come to bring him communion to see his face. I'd asked him what Bible story he wanted to hear. He said to me, this one, John 21. So I read it, all of it. It's a long one. And together we chuckled at Peter's nakedness in the boat. We enjoyed the miraculous catch of fish. We both used to talk about fishing all the time. We noted the breakfast on the beach. And when I got to Jesus asking Peter three times, do you love me? I teared up. I looked at my friend and I said to him, this is what you've done. This has been your ministry. This has been your work. You have fed Jesus' sheep. He said thanks and smiled. We shared communion and I left. Not too many days after that visit, my friend and mentor died. A couple days after he died, I woke up with Peter and Jesus' voices in my head. And I understood something different. He wasn't asking me to read this story for him. He wanted me to hear it. He was dying, and he needed me to know that the work went on. Jesus was speaking through him in this hospital room, through his tired but gracious voice, saying, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Almost as though saying, the work is yours now. I didn't get it while it was happening. I only started to piece it together later. He had spent years showing me what it looked like to lead a church, to tend the flock. And in that hospital room, God was helping him to shift roles. You've seen what I've done. Now go do the same. This is what Jesus does. He meets us in the most unlikely of places, the places that we've retreated to. He builds a fire in the places that still haunt us. He feeds us before he asks us anything. And he's already making something new, even if we can't see it. Even when we catch nothing. Even when we've declared the thing dead ourselves. Whatever charcoal fire you're gathering around, whatever memory or failure you're clinging to, whatever long night of catching nothing is frustrating you, Jesus is not afraid of it. He'll walk straight into that fire. He'll make breakfast there. And somewhere in that ordinary and unrecognizable moment, Jesus will be raising things from the dead. Each question that Jesus asked Peter pulled him one step further out of the tomb that he'd been living in since that courtyard. And by that third answer, Peter is no longer the one who denied Jesus. He's an apostle. Jesus doesn't just forgive him. He enfolds him in Jesus' ongoing work of the resurrection itself. This one who declared the relationship dead is now entrusted to take care of the whole flock. And so are you. Whatever tomb you've been living in, Jesus is already there asking, already sending. You've seen what he's done. Now go tend the flock. Care for God's people. You have been loved. You've been fed. And now you are sent to be a part of Christ's ongoing work of resurrection and life, this day and always. Amen.